I'm going to look you over for a minute, okay? How many of you, this is your first time? This is my first time being here. Any other first time people, the first time you ever been here? Okay, well, I'm glad to be here, okay? We retired from itinerant preaching. We did that for 31 years. Itinerant means we had an itinerary, and every week we're in a different place speaking, preaching. And Joyce leaned over to me and says, now, I've not done any itinerant preaching. We're preaching the next five Sundays in a row from Waterloo, Iowa, Billings, Montana, Bloomington. We're doing it again, and this is the first of those. And Joyce Leaner says, well, how does it feel? I said, ask me after it's over, okay? We'll see. I'm excited about this, and I want to cut through the introductory fluff and get to it. So, why don't you just turn your Bibles to Matthew 28, and I feel like I need to give some background to this event. That's where our text, we're going to do eight verses, Matthew chapter 28. Whenever you're at the end of the Gospels, you know you're around the resurrection time, okay? And before I do that, though, I wrote these quick notes on the back of my preaching notes. This is what I'm supposed to be preaching off, and I'm going to say some things off of this. Sometimes that happens. Happened last night. We were visiting our son, our two sons. I have a son, Brian Harmon, who's preaching right now at his church. And you get preachers together, and you get each other all revved up. Then we're supposed to go to bed and go to sleep like this, okay? Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Anyway, we had a great time with Easter celebration yesterday at our son's, and we got to see all the northern side of them, of our family, and got to hold that newborn baby, little Eden Aaliyah is her name, just a sweet little newborn baby. And anyway, I can't do this. I want to get to this. I'm going to give you some, before we pick up the narrative here, where we're going to look at in just a minute, I'm going to give you some background that I think sets the stage for us to leave with a deeper appreciation of the resurrection. Easter has to do with the Christ raising from the dead. Here's how I'd like to begin this. I want to give you some background to help set the stage, I'll say this again, for our text, the narrative, in just a moment. In the beginning, God created. I want you to let that settle in on you for a minute. What we're going to talk about, the resurrection. In the beginning, God created. Now, if you went to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says this, for by him, context is Jesus, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, whether visible or invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were made by him, comma, and for him. He was before all things, and by him all things consist. In the beginning, God. I hope you get on board with me eventually. Genesis 3. The serpent slithers into paradise. You can't get any better than Adam and Eve had it. Would you say amen to that? I mean, it's as good as it's going to get. And sometimes the serpent slithers into paradise. His favorite haunt is the wilderness, but sometimes when everything's going good, are any of you tracking with me at all or not? See, what does that have to do with this? You stay with me. Whatever the fruit was, the fall. Sent it into the world. The first two boys, one of the brothers killed the other one. Track with me. Is it still in the beginning God? The fall of man takes place. Genesis 6. My spirit will not always strive with man. And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in all the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he'd made man upon the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And he said, this will I do. I will destroy man whom I've made upon the earth. How many of you are glad for this next part? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Any of you glad for that part? What does that have to do with this? Stay with me. Noah built a boat. I'm going to judge this place. And Noah was moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. But when he got off the boat, sin got off with him, telling us that water can't wash away our sins. Somebody say amen. Do you understand this? See, water ain't good enough to do it. It won't do it. It didn't do it for, and it won't do it for us. Abraham. If you go to a place that I'll show you, I'll make of you a great nation. And all the nations of the world will be blessed if you'll obey me. By faith, Hebrews 11, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to have to travel fast. By the way, if you know your Bibles, how do you know if you want to improve the preacher's sermon, study your Bible yourself? Say amen to that. Would you agree with that? If you're in the book, his sermon will get better. Because God will say things to you from stuff you're learning from him through his word, and this will just kind of rev you up a little bit, okay? That's why they call us reverend. That's the only thing I can think of. We just kind of rev them up a little bit, okay? Now stay with me in this. Joseph. From prison to a prince. This one who created all things in the beginning, God. Eternity, looking into time. I got a plan. Moses. The Exodus. We're covering a lot of ground right here. Would you agree? There's a whole lot of preaching going to go on in these. But just stay with me in this. The wilderness again. Joshua. The Jordan. Conquering the land. The time of the judges. God, why did you have the judges? When every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How many of you know man didn't do so good during those days? Would you agree with that? And God would send a judge, old Gideon. How many of you know he was one reluctant dude? Would you agree with that? He's hiding in a... Never mind, we haven't got time for Gideon. Samson, I'm saying, God, I'd have chose anybody but Samson. The only other perpetual Nazarite from the mother's womb was John the Baptist. So two have the same gift and the same start, and one of them makes a mess of his life, and the other one is obedient to God. The kings. God chose the first king. His name was Saul. They didn't vote him in. God chose him. And he sought for another man, the shepherd boy David, the star of David. Israel today, David's their king. Whew. That's where the history goes back to David, man. There's a guy that knew God. And God tells David, it's your house now. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the nation of Israel, and the wrestling with all the things that went on. Let me give you Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised before by his holy, in the scriptures, by his holy prophets, that Jesus would come according to the seed of David. Now, you've got a seed back here. In Genesis chapter 3, when man fell, God made a promise about the seed of the woman. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Seed, there's a seed coming. There's a Messiah coming. And as time went on, it became clearer and clearer to them, God is going to send us a Redeemer, a Savior, the Jewish people. We're going to have this. David, now, that's the household it's going to come from this household. The time, toward the end of the times of the kings, prophets. One of them is Isaiah, near the end of the kings. Isaiah 7:14, for the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. Can I erase you another 700 years? Luke 1:27, and the virgin's name was Mary. We got her name now. It was just a promise, a virgin going to conceive and have a son. His name would be called Emmanuel. Luke says that the child, Jesus, grew in stature and in favor with God and man. Joseph, the one who was getting to raise him but certainly never fathered him, was warned by God in a dream, go to Egypt. Then finally, out of Egypt, he came fulfilling scriptures. And he didn't raise him in the rabbinical schools of theology in Jerusalem, but he went to Nazareth, a place, if anything ever good came out of Nazareth, it was an accident. No, it was a design. Somebody want to say amen to that? See, if you understand what's going on here, we're setting the background to what's about to happen. How do you know that God ain't figuring this out as he goes along? Say amen to this. Would you agree with this? So I wonder what I'm going to do next. Don't worry about that. In the beginning, God created, and man and the fall and all the things we've been seeing that God has been doing. When old Jacob wrestled with God, it's okay to wrestle with God. Just don't wrestle against him. You can wrestle with him. And say, I won't let you go till you bless me. Man, what began to happen? The blessings of God. God's showing himself strong. He says, I got a plan to redeem man. 12 years old, he's in the temple debating with the PhDs of his day. He said, don't you know, Mom, I must be about my father's business. Mary must have went, oh, yeah. How do you know? If anybody knew who he was, it was Mary. Would you say amen to that? And yet she kind of forgot. Your father and I have been worried about you. Oh, my father ain't been worried at all. Say amen. Yeah, you don't have to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy this enough for all of us. This is just, what must it have been like to have Jesus in your home as a child? Whew. Went through his bar mitzvah. At 30, he got 18 years of hanging doors and building windows and doing carpentry. The God of creation, who was before all things and by him all things consist, who took upon himself the form of a man, fully man yet fully God. It says he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. What did he suffer? Can you imagine the God of creation having to say, it says, he who keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. When he became a man, he had to learn obedience. I got to go to bed at night, get some sleep. I get thirsty at times. I get exhausted in this physicalness of ministering, and I can fall asleep in a storm. At 30 years old, he finds his cousin, old John the Baptizer. Says, I need to be baptized by John. John says, no, 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 I need to be baptized by you. As far as we know, John never got baptized himself. Never mind. I haven't found any scripture saying he ever did. He said, permit it so, and he baptized him, and he came up out of the water. He saw the Spirit descend upon him like a dove and heard a voice from heaven saying, this one right here is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. His ministry begins. He chooses 12 disciples. Miracles. Boy, could we spend some time here. The miracles. On the way to the cemetery, stops the funeral procession, goes over to the boy that's laying on with the biers. The pallbearers are carrying him to the cemetery. And he looked at the woman, knowing this was her only son, and she was a widow, said, you really need him for a little bit longer. You go back to your mom. And he did it. He just got up and, I guess I'm here, Mom. I'm here. Oh, the miracles. The betrayal. Gethsemane. You know what that Greek word gethsemane means? Olive press. He's about to be pressed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The crucifixion. Joseph of Arimathea. The tomb. We're to the text. Let's pick up the narrative now. He's been in that tomb 3 days. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. I'll stop here for just a moment. I don't know if you ever visit cemeteries, but Joyce and I do every once in a while. We visited my mom and dad, your mom and dad's burial places. We're going to be buried right next to my dad because he had 2 extra plots, one for me and had an extra one. And I said, Dad, can I have them? Now, he's buried there. My sister's buried there. Brother's buried there. And my mom's buried there. I'm the last member of my biological family. And it ain't going to be long. Do you know what I like about cemeteries? They're reality checks on life. They'll most always have... Have you ever been to like a Cades Cove Cemetery or Gettysburg and go through the cemetery and you see this DOB-DOD, date of birth, date of death. You know what life is? It's a dash. How many of you have lived long enough to know this baby's going by in a blur? Something good about that to think about. I haven't got enough time to live one life for me and later on live one for God. Enough time for that. I can't do this with each verse. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I just want to take a look at one word for just a moment, and it's earthquake. The Greek word is seismos. English word, seismology, the study of earthquakes. A man by the name of Charles Richter. Somebody nod, or I can't see you good enough. You're tracking with me. This isn't deep science. This is just, you know, earthquakes. Okay. Charles Richter was a German, blah, 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 did a bunch of research. And he studied earthquakes. He's in Southern Cal teaching seismology. And because of the great fault that lies, you know, there's a mass of people that live on this part of California running down the coast and stuff. If that baby breaks off into the, you got real casualties. And so he developed a Richter scale from 1 to 10. Okay, and what it does is it measures, it's instruments that measure the vibrations of the earth when there is an earthquake, when there's a fault or the plates, you know, and there's just a little bit of a shift. And I'm telling you, they just, you move just a very little bit up top and everything up top goes like this. And so this is a measuring of them. Do you know what the largest measurement of the earth's vibrations that they have recorded since 1935? It's in Anchorage, Alaska. It was a 9.2. Now, we've preached in Alaska, and we went to their museum, and they have a section, whoa, way bigger than this, all your facility here, that's dedicated to just the earthquake of 1964. It was unbelievable. I mean, it shook. Do you know the second largest one they have? This is since they've been measuring them, okay? It was in 2015 in Japan. It was a 9.0. And if you can remember that. How have you, there was a recent one in February in Turkey. Now, how many of you are familiar with that? One's close enough. Do you know what that was only a 4.8? See, this thing, it says there was a great earthquake. Now, here's what it is. This is the first of five great earthquakes in the Bible. This is the first one. These are not, listen, there are many, there's mentions of a number of earthquakes in the Bible, but only five great earthquakes. Now, the word great makes it different than just a regular. In fact, over here in just verse 51 of chapter 27, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, and the earth did quake. It was just an earthquake. This one here at the resurrection is a great earthquake. The word great, it's an adjective. An adjective is a word that expresses the quality of a noun, a person, place, or thing. An earthquake is a thing. I hate to insult your intelligence with the English class this morning, but I wanted to. This is a great, or this is the first mention. There's only five. This is the first one. Expresses the quality or defines or describes something from something that is different. It describes it from just an earthquake to a great earthquake. The Greek word is mega. This is a mega earthquake. And it happened, Charles Richter said, the most unpredictable of all the natural phenomenons and disasters is an earthquake. They cannot predict when they're going to happen. You're going to see five of them right on time. Listen, God didn't time this because he knew an earthquake was coming. He who holds the stars, the heavens in his hand, and all the majority of this planet we live on is water. He holds all the seas in his hands. All you got to do to make an earthquake is go. You're not enjoying this. I tell you, I just love it. God is about to make a statement with this great earthquake. Now, we were in an earthquake when we were in Alaska. This was the first time I was in there preaching in Alaska. And they put us up in a mobile home. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, and when I sleep, I sleep. I mean, I'm in a coma. Nothing wakes me up. Joyce says that I'll get to snoring or something. She'll ask me to turn on and poke me. And I'll talk to her. I never remember any of that. It's all in a different world to me. But I woke up and it felt like, have you ever went on a state trunk line, too? And you got a big semi coming at you. And he's a little close to your line and you're a little close. And when he goes by, it kind of goes, it's the only thing. It felt like somebody took that mobile home and just kind of went, boom. And both of us woke up. I said, what was that? I don't know. I said, I bet it was an earthquake. They talked about it. I don't know what it was. Some little minor. They mentioned it in the news in the morning. And it was, oh, no big deal. When you're not used to it. How do you know Michigan? And this area isn't known for earthquakes. Okay. You're not. I can't. This isn't the message. I'm just going to do. What are the five great earthquakes? Let me. Yellow sticky note, okay? That's the first great earthquake, timed with precision to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to add emphasis to the significance of this event. You know what the next one is? Acts 16, Paul, Silas. First missionary trip, Paul and Barnabas, just a little one, Cyprus, through Galatia, Lystra, Derbe, Iconia. He comes over here and that's the first one. But the second one is going to go global. They're going to go into Ephesus and go up here to Troas, Macedonia, and call, land at Neapolis and go to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens and Corinth. This is a big deal. The church is going global. They arrest him in Philippi, and they got him in chains, and they're sitting in a prison. And at midnight, they began to praise God and worship God and glorify God. And there was a great earthquake. And it says the foundations of the prison were shaken and the doors left their hinges. Now, this will not happen in an earthquake. And it says their bonds fell off. You check that out. You know what the Greek word is? Chains or fetters. I was a cop for 11 years, a Michigan State trooper, and I put the cuffs on a lot of guys. In fact, they're trying to get out. I said, if they got out of them, you got your freedom. I ain't messing with you, break them babies. Earthquakes open doors, but they don't unlock. You know how they put the chains on these guys? A chain in between them, and they riveted them. They don't fall off. Paul standing before Agrippa giving his testimony. And he says, almost thou persuadest me, Paul, to become a Christian. He said, I wish you were almost and altogether like me, except for these bonds. They would come and visit him in prison, Onesiphorus, and he would not be ashamed of his chain. Everywhere Paul went, you knew he was under Roman authority because he was in the chains. All the chains fell off. See, these are supernatural events, which is only natural for God, because he wants to make a statement. He wants us not to miss the significance of something that's about to happen. There's three of them that are yet to occur that are great earthquakes. I'm going to give them to you quick. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. The sixth seal, and I beheld when the sixth seal was opened, behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth as a fig tree when she casteth her untimely figs, when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll. Don't miss this. And every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. Tsunamis. The sixth seal. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Two witnesses come down and they preach. And they give glory to God and share the gospel. And the people hate them and kill them. And their bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. And they begin, God gives them life, breathes life. And they begin to rise up. And the people who beheld it saw it and were terrified, and then there was a great earthquake. How many of you know God's making some statements right now? Trumpets, seals, trumpets, bowls of wrath. At the seventh bowl, this is worth, if you want to turn to this, you can. Or you can just write down the scripture reference. Revelation 16, I'm going to read 17 and 18. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts. You know what's going to happen in moments? Armageddon. We've been flying high. We started in Genesis. And we've been, every once in a while, just touched down on something that those of you who know your Bible say, oh yeah, oh yeah. Armageddon. Then I saw an angel come down out of heaven and had the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. The day is coming, Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them, one to be cast in a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The great white throne, the books are opened, and the people are judged. Then you know what's going to happen? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, John says, chapter 21. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. You realize how close we are after the bowl? The last great earthquake? Those three are yet to come. I don't want anything to do with any of them. I'd just as soon be in glory. How have you know the great tribulation is something you want to miss? Say amen. I'd just as soon a trumpet sound would be fine. How have you know we're not writing a script, but we know a God who is? Say amen to that now, I see. The first great earthquake, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whew. I told you we can't do this with each verse. Please listen quickly. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Oh, I love this. What time do you folks have to be home? Oh, this is too good. I got to make just a comment, and then we're almost to the message. We get to the message down here in verse 7. Just, okay. How do you know, no matter what country you're in, you seem to visualize Christ from that culture? How do you know we have westernized Christianity to a fault? Would you agree with that now? We've sanitized, we've done so many things to what true Christianity really is. Most of the angels we have in our drawing are all European, Caucasian, for some stupid reason, with blonde, curly hair and little feminine wings and rosy cheeks. And then why are the first words from any angel in Scripture always, "Fear not"? Fear not. I don't think so. That one, when he put him out of the garden, drove him out of the garden, he put a cherubim at the gate of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword. They don't even think about it. When this angel showed up and sat on the rock, 16, it says that there were a quadrant of soldiers who were guarding the tomb, making it safe with Pilate's seal on it. Don't break the seal. The only one that had a higher seal than that was Caesar in Rome. You got to have a higher authority if you're going to break the seal. How are you glad we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise? And there ain't nothing greater going to break that seal. Now, that's another whole sermon. We got it back to this one now. Whew. Man. You just do a little study on angels. Gabriel appears. I got to leave him. To Mary. First words, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all peoples. And he tells her what God has intended for her. And she says, be it unto me according to the word of the Lord. I am your handmaiden and your servant. Whew. There's a great angel. These battle-hardened soldiers have all passed out. I've been scared at times in my life, but I've never passed out from being scared. You say, how do you know they were battle-hardened soldiers? That was the worst duty you could get. If you wanted to be punished by Rome and you were a soldier that gave them troubles, you were sent on this kind of detail because you had to deal with zealots all the time. It was a very dangerous detail. And they'd have sent them over there because these guys would kill you in a heartbeat. These guys didn't have nothing to lose. You were in the armpit of where I'm supposed to be. I want to be here. So don't you mess with me, Jew. And they killed Jews. These are battle-hardened old soldiers. Every one of them passed out to a man at the sight of this angel. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, whom was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Just as he said. People, we do not worship a ghost. We worship this risen Savior, Jesus, who is not in that grave anymore. What is the drum roll significance of that? When Jesus died on the cross, can I tell you something? The penalty of sin was paid in full. But the power of sin was not broken till he rose from the grave. The promise he's going to make to you and I of eternal life. That power to live the victorious life. If the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies, that you should obey him. It's the power of God. This risen Lord Jesus, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Penalty paid at the crucifixion. It is finished. Nothing more has to be done for the debt of sin to be paid. It's finished. What about the power? This is the promise we have in Christ. Resurrection power. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. I want to know him. I want to know this power of the resurrection. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Without Christ, there's no hope. And all of us at one time were without Christ and without hope and without God in this world. With Christ, we have hope. Hope of what? The resurrection. The resurrected body of Jesus, Luke 24, he appears to his disciples, and guess what? They're terrified. Are we having another one of them vision moments, or what is going on? It's me. He said, it's really high. He said, look at my hands, my feet. They go, do you have something to eat? Does the spirit have flesh and bones? Did you see me have? It can travel as fast as thought. It can go through the wall or open a door. It can eat, don't have to eat. How many of you are looking forward to that? You can eat, and it'll be all right, okay? And you don't have to eat. A resurrected body. This is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about here. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him the resurrection. See, my mother died at 49. I remember when she died, I thought, well, she's had a good long life. How do you know when you have children older than that, you realize that's a short life? And I was a mama's boy and loved my mother. But I would not like to hug the remains of where she's been since she's been 49 in that. But I know one day God's going to make her anew. And that new one will never die. And there'll be no more curse, no more sickness, no more death. The promises of a resurrected life with Christ. Oh, if you don't know him, you need to know him. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But at the times and seasons, friends, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh like a thief in the night. That's the ones that's coming. Those are the days that are coming because that day occurred. Let me give you the verse. How do you know that for sure? Everything he promises after is dependent upon this happening. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath appointed, by which he hath given us assurance and that he had raised him from the dead. If Jesus did not do what the scriptures say he did right now, our preaching is vain. Listen, we have no hope. We are still in our sins and looking for a Savior. The deal was sealed when Jesus did what he did, and the earth shook. He rose from the dead. You don't really believe that, do you, Tom? Read my lips. If you don't believe that, what do you believe? All the eggs are in that basket. If Jesus didn't come back to, not a ghost, not a spirit, but a living Lord Jesus Christ, the first begotten from the dead, the resurrected Savior. The one who says to us, one of these days, you're going to get one of these. I'm going to show you the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment of the twinkling of eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound. And dead in Christ are going to be raised. And we shall be changed. For this mortal, this corruptible, how have you lived long enough to know that this old carcass ain't getting better with the passing of time? Oh, my soul. Oh. Wrinkles all over me. Joyce and I look at each other now and go, boy, we're falling apart. Arms, legs. Your hope better be in something more than just this old carcass. Getting a brand new one. Yes, it is. Well, I've got to finish the message. Now we're to the message. As he said. As he said. Just as he said. In the beginning, God, start going through her. All that background I gave you. All the promises of God in him, that's Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. Jacob, Israel, Joseph, Moses, Exodus, Joshua, the land, David, the kings, the prophets. I'll show you a sign for this moment, the day we celebrate right now, the one upon which the church is built upon this foundation. You pull the resurrected Christ out of this and everything we do falls apart. With the resurrection, there's looking for the blessed hope. His return. Tim, you mentioned it in your prayer. His return. Jesus said as he is speaking to John on Patmos about to reveal to him the end of the age, three great earthquakes in that time. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was, the one who is. Somebody help me. You're right. I know you knew that one. He is to come. We're looking for his coming. If he hadn't done that, don't bother with his coming. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There's a great payoff for those who are looking for his coming. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might inherit the promises. And yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. When this, she's all accomplished, but this, we're very close to the end of the book. You know what we're looking for? The one who rose from the dead to come and ransom and redeem us and give us glorified bodies. In a twinkling of an eye, those of us who are alive and remain, we're all candidates for that who know Jesus. But regardless, if we die and are buried, if you die in Christ, you'll be raised from the dead. That's the hope. Oh, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you have seen go up into heaven will come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. Closing thought. 1 Kings 8:56, Solomon, the temple, dedication. We cannot imagine the magnitude of this. In his prayer at the dedication, he says to the children of Israel, there hath not one word of all his good promises have failed. Not one. Good track record. For those of us who believe this last one will not fail. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, shall not he do it? Hath he not spoken, shall not he make it good? Not one jot, not one tittle, not one comma, not one semicolon, not a period. That's what they are, just the small enunciating things in English language. Just little tiny will fail till it's all going to be fulfilled. John 10:41, John did no miracle. But everything that old John said about this man, Jesus, is true. I echo that. Everything that's said about Jesus is true. He rose from the dead, and we are looking for the risen Savior to redeem us with a new body. Genesis, believe me and live. Believe him and die. Just as he said. You just put those glasses on and look at Scripture and see things happen just as God says they will. Well, John, I've used up your closing time. If he hadn't introduced so long and stuff, I'd have had, they call that blame shifting, and I apologize. Here's how we're going to close today. Whoever's going to lead in the closing song, you can start heading this way and get them ready. But I want y'all just to bow your head, and would you just for a moment make the little piece of real estate you're on. Oh my, we got a lot coming. Come ahead on. Would you do this? Just make your piece of real estate. You can do that standing right up here too. Where you're at, an altar or a place, a sanctuary where you can do business with God. Is your faith been weakened through the barrage of lies we're living in? I don't know where you're at. Maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior. You can do that in a heartbeat right where you're at. Say, oh God, I believe you. I believe that Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. And I believe that he rose victorious over sin and death and hell to give me power over sin. I do not have to give in to sin. Oh yeah, I sin, but I don't have to live there. There's a power greater than my sin. It's the resurrected power of Christ. Maybe you've drifted far from God and you know it. And God's speaking to you right now. Just spend the next 30 seconds and go vertical. And ask God to do a work in your life. Tell him you believe him. I'm going to have them close in this song. Anybody just want to lift your head up and say, Tom, remember me in this closing prayer. I need some prayer this morning. Anybody want in on this? Okay. Anybody else? Good. I'm praying for all of you, whether you raise your hand or not. So God knows where we're at. Heavenly Father, would you help us? If I say I believe what I've just preached, there's no way I can be the same that I always seem to be. The end is coming at us like a freight train. Help us, oh God, to be men and women of God. Save the lost. If there's somebody here that's cried out to you from their heart, I don't know if I'm saved or not, would you do a work of salvation in their life? From the great majority, God, I read the faces, and so many of them are with me in the preaching. They know the word, know the truth, and know your spirit. But God, I pray that you do a new, a fresh work in us. Cleansing work. God, roll over us on your burden for the lost. The people outside these walls that desperately needed to hear the truth of forgiveness and redemption and salvation, of hope and love and peace and the things that only you can provide. Help us, God, to all leave this place a little different than what we were when we came. Lord, you know what you've been doing in my own heart. Help me, help Joyce and I. It's so easy to live off yesterday's grace. Cleanse, renew, restore, revive, oh God, the things that only you can do. We can't manufacture those things. But your Spirit, through your word, can. You can produce those fruits of righteousness in us. Help us all, dear God, to move on in our journey of faith. Not to be content to live in the past. Give us fresh new ventures of faith and challenges, sins to deal with through the power of the resurrected Christ. And we'll be careful to thank you for whatever you do, because we know you do all things well. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.